Hello, fellow travelers, and welcome to today's special episode of To the Verse into Stars podcast. My special guest is everybody's podcast, Kurt.
Hey, all, Kurt Sasso here from Two Geeks Talking. It's an entertainment industry interview show where we interview the creative people from the comic, film, TV, movie, and video game industries. And who's our next host here?
Brian.
Hey, this is Brian, and with me is my co-host, Mark. We're two-thirds of the Three Geeky Dads podcast.
Hello.
Greg.
And this is Greg from Searing Up the Comics podcast, or SNP. We interview comic creators and musicians and whatever we get on.
All right, Andre.
What's going on, everybody? I am Dre the Brute Daniels. I am the host of Brutal Planet Comics. I'm also a comic producer under the same moniker, Brutal Planet Comics. I'm so happy to be here. Let's jump into it. I'm excited.
All right. I want to thank everyone for showing up. This is one of the coolest collections of podcast hosts I think we've ever had. So welcome everyone, and thank you for coming on. Big deal for us. So the one thing I always want to ask you guys is, and we'll start, we'll hit the circle, is what was your favorite episode that you've done on your show?
Good question. Well, that's a good question. I think for me, it was, I had Phil Folio on in my first 10 episodes of the show, and we just geeked out over Magic the Gathering and Girl Genius Online and a bunch of other things. He was a fun time to have on the show.
Brian.
Awesome. Yeah. A couple of months ago, we had Derek Rook on. He's the publisher of Rough House Publishing, and they do a lot of horror comics. He was a great interviewer, and he participated. We were also covering some of our favorite horror movies through the decades for the month of October. So he was a really good contributor for that as well. And I really liked the way that the interview came out with him. I think we really, really got our stride going with that one, huh, Mark?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Derek was a great guest.
Yeah. And if I had to pick one, I would say on our show, we have kind of a sub podcast on there called Drink Till It's Good, where we drink a lot of booze and we try to see if all the booze in the world can get us through some really horrible movies.
Because we like bad movies.
We sure do. So for our first one, we tried it out. It was sort of a trial run. We did the Roger Corman unreleased Fantastic Four film.
Yeah.
And that was the first. Yeah. So up until that point, we were kind of doing just standard podcast stuff, just talking about the usual stuff, what was coming out, what was new. So when we tried this, we were just laughing our asses off, and we were having such a good time.
Yeah,
like it just became a staple of the show,
almost like a monthly thing.
So every now and then we just have one of these drink till it's good things and cover some really horrendous movies.
Yeah,
you name it, odds are we've done it.
Sometimes not all the booze in the world can save some of those movies.
No, not at all. No.
All right, Greg.
Well, we're almost 100 episodes, so it was a lot. Yeah.
Congrats, man.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be on the 6th. I don't know. I guess the one with our friend Hector Barrero, because he's been on like quite a lot. Like he was in the beginning because we couldn't get any guests. So I guess anyone with him.
All right, Andre.
Cool.
So, wow. I don't think I can top anything that Ryan and them doing down there. That's gangster stuff. I'm Trey,
if you like bad movies and booze, you're welcome to join us.
Hey, holler at me, brothers. Holler at me. That sounds like fun. Most of the time I'm interviewing other independent comic book creators. And I had the opportunity to actually interview one of my mentors named Jose Lueri. And he runs C3 Comics. And it was just a pleasure to actually just sit there and talk, you know, and as you say, geek out with them and talk about all the things that we came up with and the things when I was messing up and how he helped me out and a lot of things. And I was creating my own series and seeing where I was and where I am now. It was like a really, really cool, like ultimate bro moment when I actually got to sit there and talk with him. So it was definitely a highlight of my interviewing career for sure.
Awesome.
Cool.
You know, I think really the best interviews always seem to be the ones that are just like a conversation. You know, like the ones that are, there's a few that you feel like you got to like pull the person out. You're like, just answer my question. Dude, just talk, man. But some of you just are like a conversation, just like a chat. And those are always, I think, some of the very best. I mean, I had a great interview on Traversing the Stars with Dr. Travis Langley. He does the Psychology of Batman books. Mm-hmm. And I checked the time. I was like, wait, it's been an hour and 20 minutes. Jesus Christ. that's me a bitch to edit, but it was a damn good show. And I really enjoyed it. But I was like the good ones are when you check the time, you're like, oh crap.
Yeah,
this was supposed to have ended like 20 minutes ago.
And that turned into a podcast episode in 2 and 3 parts, right?
we should have. Unfortunately, I didn't know how to split at the time because I just had learned to edit. So this one hour, 20 minute chunk of episode that's out there. It's fun. I loved it. But yeah, I couldn't. I should have split it. Didn't know how at the time. But yeah, no, but it was a damn cool episode. And it just felt like natural. Those are, I think, always the best ones.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, agreed.
Now, I think the cool thing is that everyone here does an interview-based podcast. Not only interview-based, but nerdy as fuck podcast. So why? Why did you guys choose this type of format? Because you could have done any format. You could have done the ones where, you know, you just talk about shit, or you could have done whatever. You chose interview ones. Why?
Well, I think for me, it was back in 2008 when I started, and we have over 1,000+ interviews actually since that time. I love it. But I started interviewing webcomic creators because I wanted to interview the indie comic creator scene. And I really felt that they had an unused voice in the comic scene when DC and Marvel were so prevalent, and Image as well too, in the mid 2000s. And so, you know, I was helping with a website, and my co-host at the time was designing it. And I was like, we should interview these comic creators. And he's like, go ahead. So I had no knowledge of podcasting whatsoever. And I just taught everything by myself, and 1,000+ interviews later, and we're here. So it's been
1,000+ interviews.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. You've been busy.
That's amazing.
I have a Brian.
We just passionate geeks. Mark and I met about 5-6 years ago.
About 6 years ago.
Our daughters go to the same school, and I saw Mark one day at one of a school function, and he had a Fright Night t-shirt on, and I was like, oh, that guy's cool, man.
Which, you know, is the greatest movie ever made. Yeah, so we need to, before we continue, so we need to all agree with that.
It's like, we always say, like, geeks kind of find each other, you know, and Mark and I, you know, we became fast friends, and Mark one day said, hey, you know anything about starting a podcast? And I'm like, well, you know, I do IT, but no, it never came up, you know? Yeah. So I looked into it, and we started it, and we got another guy, another friend of Mark's named Derek, who's a big Batman fan. So I'm kind of the sci-fi guy, and Mark is the horror comic guy, and Derek is the Batman guy. And, you know, we try to cover everything, you know, we love bad movies. So that always comes into the mix too. And we just love to talk and geek out. So this is the perfect outlet for it. And whoever wants to listen, you know, more. Yeah, absolutely. Join in. Join in the conversation.
Our wives have had enough of it. They've so,
yeah. All right. How about you, Greg?
Well, we have a comic book company, so we decided to interview the people that were on our platform.
That's awesome.
Nice.
So we're like, oh, let's just make a podcast. And we did. So
very cool. How about you, man. Greg?
All right. Well, similar to Greg, I run a comic book production company. I've been a writer for many, many years, produced my own work, so on and so forth, yada, yada, yada. But like Kurt, the idea of independent voices not really getting the opportunity kind of stuck with me, especially being in the indie circuit for so many years. I'm just like, hey, you know what? I know everybody, you know what I mean? Like, let's just have them on and be able to share their work and be able to share their passions and geek out and talk about their journeys. And that's one of the things that I really focus on, is the journey of where they were to how we got there. Because a lot of podcasts, like, hey, what do? You know what I mean? And with this one, I'm like, hey, how did we get here? You know what I mean? Like let's talk about your origin story. Let's talk about your story arc of how you end up becoming who you are. And I enjoy it. I love sitting there talking with my contemporaries. We have a whole lot of fun while we do it. So it's pretty dope.
You know, I really like the idea that we all have a journey for us to get here. I mean, we spend so much time talking to other people and their journeys, but everyone's journey here is pretty damn cool. I mean, you guys just didn't fall into it. You know, you've been doing it successfully for a while. And I think that's really awesome. Mm. Now on the flip side, what's the most difficult thing that you had to do in your podcast, or the most difficult aspect of it?
That's a tough one. I think for me, it was originally it was finding guests. And then once you got into that, that rhythm on social media and finding them that way, then it was, it got a lot easier. But converting from just an audio podcast to video, going from video interviews is now how I've evolved from the show itself. And so while I still want to go back to providing the podcast aspect, it was learning editing, learning graphic design, learning a bunch of other little things I kind of dabbled with, but not done professionally. Mm-hmm. And so that and getting guests were my struggles.
Nice.
Brian.
Yeah. So I think the hardest part for us was just getting started, like learning what's involved in getting a podcast off the ground.
Right.
Cause Mark had, you had done one with a buddy of yours, Aaron, a while back.
Yeah. We started one a while back that kind of fell through and I still wanted to do one, but the tough thing for me was learning the technical side of it.
Yeah.
You know, I knew what I wanted to talk about. I knew kind of what the show was going to be like. Somebody, you know, three guys each bringing something to the table, like Brian said, you know, sci-fi for one, comics for the other, horror for the other, and so on. And then once we got that down, you know, it was still trying to find the right kind of rhythm, how we wanted to format the show. Did we want to talk about news first? And we tried that for a little while, but then we realized by the time we like tried to do current news, Facebook pretty much like told everybody
to the punch.
So we kind of did away with that. Yeah. So it was, the first year was just a lot of structuring.
Exactly. Yeah. Finding our feet, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah. And actually learning how to get it off the ground too was the biggest part too. Like watched a lot of YouTube videos to figure out like what equipment did we need and how do we get the, you know, the actual audio up onto the internet
and
hosting and a website and all that came later.
Sound, and all of it.
Yeah. And like Kurt, we'll probably eventually branch out into video, but right now it's just audio based.
Well, I will say for me, the biggest bitch has been learning to edit. That was a bitch.
That's
the ever-present bitch.
I'm with you. We record like maybe like 2 hours or so, and then I try to edit it down to about a little more than an hour.
Well, there's a lot of ranting that goes on. Yeah. I'm not going to say who. It's me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they got to do a lot of work. There's a lot of
our show. The booze tends to flow a little bit too.
Yeah,
we get away from our wives once a week, so
right,
we tend to blow up some steam and
all it takes.
Yeah,
yeah.
So,
But what I said was, it's sort of like swimming out into the ocean. You know, the further you go from shore, the longer it takes to swim back.
Right.
You know, so it's like editing. You know, you get yourself an hour show and it's really fun. Then you sit back and when the episode's over and you go, this is an hour and a half, 2 hour edit.
Oh, yeah.
What did I do to myself? Yep.
I know. There goes my weekend.
It's worse when you have to do video because you have to make sure the audio doesn't cut and all the other jazz as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Oh, the syncing. Yep. Yeah. When Zoom doesn't sync you properly. Oh, right. That's a fucking nightmare.
I record locally. It's a lot easier than Zoom. So.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's good.
Man.
How about you, Greg? Most difficult aspect.
Our first episode, actually first like two or three episodes, we were using Google Hangouts, which is terrible. Don't use that. we were using that, but then we were using OBS. And that's when like my business partner was like still in the same state. And we recorded like with whoever we had on. And then I recorded on Anchor on my phone. So like that was the first episode, and then I figured it all out. Well, not all. I could just upload the episode to Anchor instead of having to record it on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
That sounded like weird on the first episode. And then we got rid of Hangouts and used Zoom once Zoom became a thing. And then now we use StreamYard. So I just do a video podcast, and then I take the audio. Yeah.
Nice.
How about you, Dre?
So technical things are always going to be, you know, in the mix. But I pretty much got technical together now. The biggest challenge that I have is usually staying on topic is the biggest challenge I have now.
Yeah.
Because like I could be talking to somebody about whatever it is there, whatever the point of our conversation is. But then, to the moon. And I'm just wait a minute.
Yep.
Let's bring that money back. Let's rewind a little bit. Let's get back where we were. And so because sometimes I get caught up in having such a good time that I'm like, oh wait, we're supposed to be talking about something important.
That's right.
Back to that. So usually I have to reel myself in, and like usually like I have like a little outline sometimes. I have to look back. I'm like, oh wait, no, that's what I'm talking about. Let me get back in. So yeah, so that's usually the challenge I end up running into.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Do we all prep questions for the guests ahead of time? Because I know sometimes I'll prep a list of questions and I have a question I really like, then we drift away from it. So I keep trying to find a way to get back to it. It's like, oh, this is a great segue. Let's get back to the question I really wanted to ask. But it's like, okay, that had nothing to do with what we just came
from. the moment's gone.
Yeah. Oh, I hate when that happens. But when you leave the moment and you lose the question you really wanted to ask, you're just like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
But sometimes though, that's the most organic form of conversation when you get into those little nooks and crannies that a question can't grab. I mean, it's you learn something about someone that takes you on a completely different tangent, like Dre was saying there, and it's just like, this is way better than the question I was going to ask.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, I think the best guests are the ones, like, there's some guests I'm sure you guys have had that you can tell are prepared with all their answers. You know, had that like the canned responses to things that those guys drive you crazy. It's like, you know, it's like, stop this. Say what's on your mind, man.
It's tough when it comes to organic conversation in some cases, because what I have come to realize is that a lot of people that have done interviews have been conditioned for cookie cutter. Mm-hmm. They've been conditioned for whoever interviews they may have been doing for other people, especially in the independent comic community. There used to be a lot of bashers of if any wrestling fans here, it's steel chairs type style on like independent creators. So they're like, okay, bullet point, don't hurt me. You know what I mean? but when it comes to like the organic flow, they're like, oh, wait, I can say whatever I want. Yeah, say whatever you want. Oh my God. Okay, I did this and did that. And then we're on a tangent, but it helps a lot when it comes to a relationship. But sometimes when it comes to, hey, what are we doing here? Then it'll go off the rails. But you know, it's like a two-edged sword, but you know, it's pretty cool.
And not only asking the right question too, but listening is key. You know, listening to that answer and then, you know, expounding on that, you know, and keeping that conversation going. That's a big issue too. Like sometimes you let them talk and in your head, you're like trying to think of the next question. You're not really listening to what they're saying. And you might have let that, you know, perfect thing go by, you know, because you weren't really paying attention.
I agree with you 100%. That was the biggest thing for me to learn was to shut the fuck up sometimes. You know, it was like, because you kind of discerning, I find there's two kinds of interviewers. The interviewer that wants the guest to be the star and the interviewer who wants to be the star.
Right.
And you can tell the difference pretty quickly. And I think the first thing is you learn, at least I learned, because I didn't want to be the guy who thought he was the star of the show, wanted the guest to be the star, which is why I have guests. Is I want someone else who could do most of the talking who was interesting. But I think the hardest thing was to listen and to shut up and let that person be the star. I think that's a hard lesson to learn for a lot of new people.
I think for me, it came back to, I was an introvert I'm still an introvert, but I mean, I force myself. See?
Guilty.
I think we're all introverts. We put on this. Exactly.
This is a facade.
Yes, exactly. but for me, it forced me out of my introvertedness to become a host, to ask the questions and to sit back. So if you don't see me interrupting or like laughing along with you guys, it's just how I'm trained myself because I'm listening to you guys. But yeah, it comes back to, you know, letting the people that are the more interesting of the two people on the show tell us all about themselves. I mean, that's what I always enjoyed.
I agree.
Yep.
So is it weird for you guys to be on the other side now and be the ones who have to answer the questions and do the talking now?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Nobody likes being in the hot seat.
It's funny because I used to do it all the time when I was first starting in the indies and all that other stuff like that. But now I'm like, wait a minute, I have to answer stuff now. But yeah, like it feels familiar, but at the same time, it's like, man, I'm not used to this. Anymore. It's just not especially in the different position that I'm in now and doing podcasting and now I'm doing being an interviewer instead of the interviewee. It's like okay, cool. Ooh, questions. Nice questions. Yeah. All right. So it's cool. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my wife was like, you know, I wanted to hang out with you, but this is literally the only social exercise you do in a week is this podcast. So go talk to people. You know, other than that, you're just sitting on, you know, you're just like introverting, sitting on the couch, you know, reading a comic book or something. Like, go, this is, you're being social. Go do it.
Yeah, that's pretty much how we're getting away with it. I know. So, yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're going out, you're talking to somebody. That's good. Go, honey. Exactly. Go right ahead. Yeah.
You bothered me for the last 6 days. Go bother your friends for the other one.
Seriously, I'm done hearing about all the Hellraiser movies. Go bother somebody else with this.
That is weird that all of us, I think, are inherently introverted. I mean, mm-hmm. we're... Is that, do you think that's a weird thing that this is common among all of us, is that outside the podcast, we're pretty much people who want to keep to ourselves, unless for this 30, 40 minute span of time where we're like, all right, time to talk. And then we let someone else do most of the talking because most of us are guests first.
I
think to a certain extent, but I think my job also forces me sometimes to be more extroverted than I want to be because you have to get your point across. And I try not to bring that into the interview itself, but I think because of the show, because of the years I've been doing this, I think it's allowed me to be a little more extroverted, although I still want to curl up in a ball with a cup of coffee and some Irish cream or whatever.
There you go.
Perfect.
Hey. In that regard, along with what Kurt was saying, I don't know how you all came up, but when I was coming up, nerddom wasn't that accepted.
No,
coming up in my community.
No,
I think a lot of like nerds and geeks and variations thereof that are into Magic the Gathering or what all the other things or all the stuff that people came up with wasn't socially acceptable at the time.
Not at all.
Yeah.
No, so you would have crap thrown at you if you went in with a Ninja Turtles t-shirt.
Exactly. Yeah.
And in high school.
Really, and Mark is speaking really from experience.
Situation.
Yeah.
Because sometimes in the Black community, it gets really weird because like I'm a jock, but at the same time, I will sit in a room and read my stack of Batman comic books and be like, and they'll be like, what are you doing? Why are you just doing? You know what I mean? So it's like that thing. So therefore, I wouldn't share it with other people. I wouldn't share the passion I have.
You don't want to be ostracized from the rest of society. Exactly. And Dre, I got to admit, I just realized that the term blurred, B-L-E-R-D, is a thing. Up until about 2 months ago, I didn't realize that blurred stood for Black nerd. Is this whole other subculture. I'm like, I'm discovering like other podcasts, like Hanako's the Phantom Hybrid podcast.
Oh yeah.
Great bunch of guys over there. Yeah. And I'm like, I didn't realize that this was a term. Yeah. Talk about like your sheltered white guy.
Yeah. That's the way it is.
It really is. You know, talk about being introverted. You know, I had no idea that this was another, like, I don't know if it's a subculture, but you know, I'm finding like so many different podcasts and they're labeling themselves as blurreds. I'm like, I had no idea that this was a thing. I really didn't. So my eyes.
Welcome.
Are open.
Welcome, Brian.
My eyes are open, my friend.
Yep. I just learned something new. That's awesome.
I grew up in Bridgewater and raised there. That was my excuse. So
well, that's the point of the podcast. We're educational at our heart.
We do. I know. We educate as well as entertain.
That's right. What we're trying to say. Yeah.
I don't think anybody has learned anything from us.
No.
Like
that. These guys talk too much.
No, it's like, wow, it's amazing. These guys have wives.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, they're dads.
I think that'd be the biggest surprise. People watching the show would be like, oh my God, these people are married. Yes, many of us. Some of us are. Yeah. And I don't understand it myself, but somehow it did happen.
Yeah. This ring is heavy.
It burns us. I drug my wife's coffee every morning. She thinks she's living with Chris Pratt. She just doesn't know any better.
So in the world of podcasting, the other two things I seem to notice as separates different podcasts, there's a podcast that some podcasts out there that seem embarrassed about existing, and some out there that let it fly. You know, just a few that, you know, either they don't really do a lot of advertising, they're kind of like almost shy about the fact that they do this. And then there's others, I think most of like us who are like marketing, we're out there, you know, I'm a geek, I do geek show, screw you guys, watch my show, I don't care what you guys think.
Yep.
why do you think it's becoming more acceptable to do podcasts now, or and how do you think it would have been if we started this 15, 20 years ago and tried to do our own podcast?
I can kind of bridge that gap because I was in there 13 years ago, and literally I started when Mark Maron in the What the Fuck podcast started, as well as a bunch of others. So, you know, that was a kind of a renaissance for podcasting because it was so new, it was so different. The technology just was really shitty, by the way. Try doing an audio podcast in 96 hertz and trying to make it, you know, sound like a
decent.
Yeah, decent. Exactly. Yeah. It was impossible. TalkShoe erased my entire archive. Thanks for that. But I mean, I had backups. But anyhow, it was a time where you could do anything on a podcast. You had such a wide reach. But 10 years later, you know, you have algorithms, you have YouTube, you have everything else that's merging in terms of technology, and it makes
the landscape has really changed.
Exactly, and it makes it so different. So that you have to be on social media, you have to push yourself, you have to promote. And while, you know, people may, you know, unfollow you because you're pushing so much, it's necessary to survive in this era, in this industry. And it's a great time to be a geek.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I must say those algorithms are fucking killing me. Even a year ago, like you post to one group a year ago, you might be seen by 200 people. Now it's like 30. It was like you're in a group of 10,000. You're like, how did I only get seen by like 40 people this post? Mm-hmm. You know, the algorithms are brutal now, absolutely brutal.
It's around like August or whatever last year is when it like actually started to change. I noticed like Facebook and Instagram. It used to be like I'm on there mostly is Instagram. Mm-hmm. Went from like I don't care about likes, but it did go from like 60 something likes every single time I posted something. Yeah, to like 30 or whatever. Cool.
Like Twitter. I mean. At least I do some guests, and you know they retweet sometimes, and I had this one guest, he had something like 50,000-60,000 followers, and I was really counting on like this would be a huge bump, this guy's gonna be awesome, and I looked at the impressions, they're like 800 impressions. It's like what happened to the other, you know? It's like the guy retweeted, he did what he was supposed to do, why the hell was only getting 800 impressions? But the algorithms are brutal now.
They are something big time.
It's like they're trying to push towards spending on the sponsored ads, which also don't do very much of anything
at all.
$10 on Facebook, you get seen by 1,000 people and you got 20 reactions. Like, well,
that really wasn't worth it, was it?
No.
How many of those are actual people instead of just farms of people that are doing the likes and
stuff,
right?
true.
Or on Instagram you get, was it what's the one that I keep getting comments from? It's like advertised with, it's like something records or something. Have you ever seen that on Instagram?
Oh yeah, I get spam bots all the time.
And then
I just make fun of them and I'd say whatever records, and I was like, I don't care about you.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like first I thought they were real. I was like, oh, you want me to promote? Okay. And I looked on the thing, they're like, yeah, and then they get a message about paying money for that. I was like, wait, what just happened? Yeah, oh, no. You're marketing on my marketing, you bastard. Yeah. It is brutal. I mean, how do you guys do your marketing? I mean, how bad of a struggle is that now?
It's tough. It's still tough. I mean, it hasn't really changed from, you know, all that's changed are the different social media platforms. I mean, Twitter is consistent right now, and Facebook and all that other stuff, but you have TikTok if you can get into that range of things, but that's going to change. That's going to evolve. Yep. Snapchat was the thing as well too. I mean, it depends on how you're trying to push yourself. Twitter, compared to everything else that I've done, has been the best portion of what I can promote. It doesn't get the same reach as anything else, but the communities are better, the people are better. I get to meet people like yourself, Jeff, and everyone else on the show here. So new interactions are always awesome to have. It just comes down to how active you want to be.
I agree. I agree with Kurt on that sentiment. Like for me, it's been Facebook. For the most part, Twitter, I get less than nothing, you know. I mean, Instagram, hither and thither. I mean, sometimes I get quite a few interactions, like in the art community, from Instagram and stuff like that, or like collectors. So that's kind of cool. But Facebook has been my primary, for the last a couple years now.
Yeah.
Because that's the only algorithm that kind of I figured, you know what I mean? It's always changing, evolving, and it's always to my detriment. but you know, but the grind never ends. You know, stuff is always out there, and you never know who might see it. And like recently, I've been connecting with people in different countries. Nice. So it's you know, it works the same way. Now I'm getting contacts in Europe and South America. You know, so I'm like, hey, you know, the meter moves, but the algorithms, they're tough to beat.
They really are.
I'm noticing that I'm getting a little bit of I'm beginning to more play on Reddit now than I am on Twitter. The groups are screwed up where apparently if you don't have a certain amount of like some, it's a weird like rewards or some shit, they'll kick you whatever message you put out there and kicks it out immediately.
The karma.
Yeah, the karma bullshit, which is the most absurd crap. They're like, you didn't have enough karma to post in our group yet. It's like, you know, it's like, well, fuck you.
Anyway. This is on Reddit.
Reddit. Yeah, that's how Reddit. Yeah, but, works. It's karma.
That's but one some, we haven't explored yet.
Yeah, some groups though, it's been when they look at YouTube hits, they tell you where you get your hits from. Mm-hmm. Reddit has now just eclipsed Twitter by a couple of percentage points.
Nice. Oh wow.
Yeah, we're about to get kicked out in 2 minutes, so I'm gonna end with this, guys. I want to you guys just to say, you know, whatever's on your mind, basically your outro for your show, and so we're gonna so we can end with this. So we got 2 minutes before we get booted.
Sure, I'll go quick. Thanks, everyone, for listening and watching to Two Geeks Talking. I'm your host, Kurt Sasso. And as I say every week, everyone has a story to tell, and it's up to me to help bring that up.
Brian.
Thanks for listening to the Three Geeky Dads. I'm Brian, Mark, and Derek, who is not here. And we also have Tito, who has joined us this past year so far. He's our D'Artagnan to our Three Geeky Dads, our Three Musketeers. And just keep your geek flag flying.
Craig.
And this is the Sierra Nova podcast. Insert episode number.
All right.
And I want to thank everybody for joining me on a Brutal Planet Comics. I'm your host, Trey DeBrew Daniels. Follow me on my dope social media platforms that you see over there. And hit me up and subscribe on Brutal Planet Comics on YouTube.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for coming on. Thank you, Kurt. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Brian's person confirming
Mark,
your name.
Mark, yep.
Mark, thank you, Mark. I was going with my participant name. Thank you, Greg. thank you, Dre. I want to thank you guys for coming on. I'm hoping to get to do this again. Oh, you're my pleasure. And now hopefully the next time we can go straight geek talk, but I was really enjoyed listening to everyone talk the chop.
All right. Absolutely. Same here.
Pleasure is all mine, gentlemen.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Nice meeting all you guys. Take care.
Have a great night.